In 9 months, the Sundance Film Festival went from an in-person event to a stay-at-home online event. On the phone to give an assessment of how it went, I have the CFO and Managing Director of the Sundance Institute, Betsy Wallace. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So it was the end of April last year when you and I spoke about how your team would be planning for the 40th anniversary live here in Park City. And as we all know, in December, the decision was made not to have any live screenings in Park City. So at what point did you and the team realize that you needed to figure out the technological platform for, I've been calling it the Sundance version of Netflix?
Well, that's one definition for sure. But, it's interesting. We started really understanding the power of COVID back in April, May timeframe, and it became more and more apparent that we couldn't host the broad platform or the broad footprint that we normally have in person. So we made a decision to shift, and we kept aside, I think it was 5 theaters that we were hoping we could do in Utah, but we knew that social distancing would have to be in play for those. But we also knew that we had to create this platform, this digital festival, that we really had limited understanding of how to do. And fortunately, we had somebody on staff, Tara Hine-Phillips, who is a remarkable person that is digitally focused. She has started digital platforms before. And so she took the lead along with Carrie and many others in the staff. And it was a long 9 months, trying to iterate, how do you keep the magic of Sundance online? How do you show films? What do you do? And it was a long process. And I've got to say, on January 28th, when we started with our opening ceremony, there were a lot of held breaths and fingers crossed. And when we heard Tabitha go out, it was a relief and we were ready to go. So it was a crazy process.
Yeah. So other than having to deal with those who may have been technically challenged, did you have any big technological issues with the 2021 festival?
Fortunately, they hit before. So we were able to get through and get them fixed. No, it was really just a little bumps here or there as we realized that we would have, thousands upon thousands of people coming online, and many did not know how to access the platform. And that was really the biggest challenge for us, was customer service, trying to get technicians that would get on the phone with people. And we really were even trying to have a short opportunity a week or two beforehand to have a free film for people to come online and try to access it so we could help them get ready. So that was really the process. But after day one, that really came off well and people were ready to go. So that was our biggest challenge, to be honest, as the festival started.
Well, Sundance released some, quote, attendance numbers last week with the report saying that between the online views and the in-person screenings in the 20 cities across the country, that seven-day festival reached a total audience 2.7 times larger than the typical 11-day Utah Live edition. You figured audience views of more than 600,000. Are we comparing apples to apples here? I mean, in 2020, you reported 116,000 attendees in all venues. So the 600,000 sounds like a lot more than, more like four times the amount than what we're counting here.
So the way we looked at it was, normally in our in-person events, we report out our unique visitors. So if Betsy Wallace came in on day one, and yes, I had 4 or 5 tickets throughout the entire 10 days, I was just counted one time. Or if Betsy Wallace went into a sponsor venue, say again, I'm sorry?
No, we're good.
Okay, so if Betsy Wallace went into a sponsor venue, it was counted one time. So we were only counting one time because we're such a porous event up here and in Salt Lake. It's very difficult. We don't have one gate. So when we reported this time, it was looking at tickets. And so we went back to our ticket play for 2020, and we had around 270,000 tickets issued, and looked at our online business where we can count everything. Everybody has to get online. We can count those visitations so much easier than in person. And stepping back and realizing that on average, it's not just one person that has that screen access that bought that ticket or that pass, but it's also someone else or three other people that might be watching screen with the person that's holding the ticket or holding the pass. So on average, what we've learned over the last 9-10 months was that on average, people in festivals, film festivals, were right around two, just a little bit over two people watching a screen. So if you think about it and you bring it back into in-person, the challenge in person is you can only have one person in a seat. You know, you can stack people in your laps, even though sometimes it seems like fun thing to do. But in online, it is absolutely a format that allows for more than one person to see it. So if you take all those maturations together, and we brought in data experts to help us to understand where we were, and that's where we ended up this last year, was just around 600,000 of viewerships, which is different than what we report historically, which is unique visitors because of the festival being so porous.
Okay. So what does this tell you? I mean, you've pulled off a successful digital platform. You see that you can have more attendees than ever. You can certainly sell more tickets. What does that tell you then moving forward? I mean, is it ever going to be the same in Park City as it has been?
Well, you know, it's interesting because we got a lot of people that were saying, hey, congratulations on making it through this year. We really want to come back to Park City. And then we heard people, congratulations, this was fantastic. We want to come back to Park City and we want to have the ability to go to a theater in person. And we also want the ability to stay at home and watch something in the coziness of our house. So we're really thinking about and pondering the concept of doing a hybrid this next year. And the concept would be back in Park City, back in Utah, where our normal footprint is, because this is our home and we always want the festival to be here. And so we're working through that thought process now, but that is our goal this next year. And we're all hoping and praying that COVID and vaccinations allow for that, but we are planning for that.
All right. So I want to get to the contract that Sundance has with Park City Municipal. It was back in 2013 where both parties agreed to take the festival off of the Martin Luther King holiday weekend and extend the festival in Park City through 2026. So if you wanted to amend that contract or opt out of that contract, my understanding is that that would need to happen this year. Will you be asking to change things at all?
No, we're not. We're, again, I get back to that state of Utah, Park City have been our partners for so long. That is not our intent at all. Our intent is to continue to have a in-person festival here and work through that. You know, whatever the footprint may look like this coming year, dependent on COVID, I know the city is very supportive of helping us through this. They've been a solid partner with us for years, and we have no plans of pulling out of that contract. That is never been talked about.
Okay. And the contract does require at least 70% of the events, including the screenings, occur in the Park City and Snyderville Basin. Mm-hmm. So given the hybrid format, would you be able to meet that requirement, or would that need to be adjusted?
You know, again, we're trying to figure out how we're going to make that work. You know, I think this next year is going to be a smaller footprint because I don't think we can come back in financially the way we did before. Most of the festival is paid up front to an extent, not all of it, clearly. So we're not in that, we're not financially able to do that this year. Plus, with COVID still being out there as somewhat of an iffy thing, we want to be mindful of not locking in too much this next festival, just in case it comes against us. So we're working very mindfully, but we've just started that process. You know, we're thankful we got through this festival online. It was successful. We're proud of it. And we're just right now, as you may know, we have festival break, which is a 3-day period that all staff take off just to regain their footing and enjoy their families and friends. And then we all come back together next week.
Yeah. Were you able to hang on to the grant money that you were awarded for this year's festival that you received from, like, the Summit County Arts and Parks grant?
So far, yes. Yeah. I've not heard anything different on that. You know, we are still planning and hopeful to have community outreach. We had Life in the Day film that was free to Utahns. We had 6,800 people sign up for that. We had about 1,500 stay through the Q&A of it. So I think we are morphing a little bit and trying to reach broader populations here in Park City, here in Summit County, and working towards that. And then in the summer, we are thinking about, and again, this is going to be after we get back from our break, is the concept of having some kind of 2 or 3 day soft event in town. And we've been chatting with the city and Jenny Dearson and others how that could look and what that may entail. At this point, we're not sure, but we've started talking to them about it before we even had the festival. So we're looking forward to that too. And the purpose of that would be really to thank residents, whoever's in town, really try to drive people not only to a film, and it would be a pop-up outdoors kind of film, but to drive them to restaurants, to have them come and stay at the hotels, enjoy every aspect that Park City has to offer and Summit County has to offer.
So for the last many years, Sundance has hired Y2 Analytics to do an economic impact survey. Will you have one done this year, or is it just not necessary?
Yeah, this year we did hire Y2 Analytics, more in the fact of trying to understand the digital festival, the results of that, not financially, but more so who really came in. And we started to see those demographics and started to report on them. But it's also what pieces of the platform worked for people, what didn't work. And so it's really trying to get a more holistic piece to it. But we are not going to do the financial side of that because there's nothing to report out. It wasn't a festival that was located in one area. It was really spread across 50 states and about 120 countries. So that's a very difficult thing, and it doesn't gain anything. It's just sort of an interesting piece of information. So this year we're going to take a pass, but next year as we come back in, we'll start it again for sure.
Okay, because I thought you used the numbers that you received with the economic impact as a way to secure state and local dollars to produce the upcoming festival. Not necessarily.
No, it really is used during the process that we have the appropriations session. So the state has been very supportive of us. Everybody has been super supportive of us. The reality is we couldn't stay in business and do this online business without their support. It would not have worked. And so for everybody to come in and support us, it has been really remarkable. And I think a true testament to the partnerships that we've had for decades, and I hope they continue. And as we get into our next year in person and the hybrid with digital, that we're able to continue that relationship. You know, when I stepped back and we looked at what we did provide online, we really had a lot of beautiful trailers around Utah and trying to introduce Park City and everything that we could to make sure our partners were still a showcase of ours, which they are every year.
All right. Sundance had hoped to celebrate the 40th anniversary this year, and just not much of an opportunity for a celebration. So we just wait to the 45th.
we're still looking at it. I think we're going to try to pull together thoughts over the next couple months to see where we land on that. It was something that we were very mindful of and wanting to do pre-COVID. With where we were, it was something that was clearly in our radar and wanted to get there. I think right now we're just going to sit back, get back together, and really think about what makes sense and what we can and cannot afford to do in the short term.
I also want to talk briefly just about that record-breaking acquisition of the film Coda that we heard, $25 million of first. What does that tell you? I mean, given we even had, 2.7 times larger views of films and still paying more for a film. I mean, I guess, what does that mean, if anything, to you?
Yeah, I actually think it's just a matter of the time we're in. And I mean that in that we've all been staying home. We've all been binging on content. And I think that content has to be constantly pushed through and created. And this was a wonderful avenue for our artists and filmmakers from around the world that we showcased to have their films out there. And it was a Coda was a remarkable film. So was Summer of Soul. There are so many that have been picked up. And I think it just says that the content is something that people want to get into either theaters and or streaming, because I think people are starved for it, as I know I am. And so I think that it's both the quality of the film, it is the desire to have new content come to us, and I think it's a mix of that. And then to be able to show it around the world and around the United States, I think gave it a little bit extra attention to it, as you mentioned. So I think it's a mixture of a couple things.
All right. Finally, I just wanted to ask you, we've heard a lot about the Arts and Culture District in recent city council meetings. Can you give us an idea? I mean, what's the latest? What are Sundance's plans? Are you going to move forward with this, or are you going to stay where you're at?
Well, at this point, we were, a year ago, we were in a much different environment. We were in our capital campaign. We were moving forward on it. But when COVID hit, as did almost every single nonprofit in the United States, capital campaigns were put on hold. And ours was put on hold with everything else. We saw donations. Folks were really trying to decide, could they make donations? Could companies make donations? Could foundations, help us? And at this point, we are still in a pause. We will stay on a pause for two reasons. One, we wanted to get through this festival and see if we could make it work from a online perspective and make sure that we were, still having a festival. And then as we get through this and seeing where we may lie, we still are on pause on our campaign, but it is just because we just came off the festival 4 or 5 days ago and trying to figure out what our next steps are. For the Arts and Culture District, we've been big supporters of that district since we were approached by the city. So we're all sort of trying to figure out where we're coming, where we're landing, where we're going. And I think it was just a matter of time, which the city did give us and understands that a nonprofit is not like a for-profit. We rely on donations from folks and contributions and ticket revenue from big festivals. So we're all trying to just balance that and see where it's going to take us. So I think time is just what we're asking for, and just trying to get our feet back underneath us after this festival just ended, and we're so proud of it.
Okay. Anything else you want to mention?
No, Leslie, I'm just thankful that we were able to say we're coming back for next year, and that this festival was successful in the eyes of ourselves, and getting the artists out and their films out and being really seen all over and accessible to people. And I think that has been our mission, and we're thankful for that. We're also very thankful that we're able to come back and have great discussions with the state, with Summit County, with Salt Lake City, and primarily Park City about next year. And I look forward to it, and I know everybody at the Institute does too. So thank you.
Okay. Betsy Wallace, the CFO and Managing Director of the Sundance Institute, thank you for your time.